here's what's really unique about this thing.
Go ahead.
I brought a profane rhythm section into church.
Yes, I know.
Instead of just the, oh, you know that.
I know everything about what you did.
All right. And because it was my idea to get a much more fully fleshed thing. Now, what's his name? The Reverend...
James Cleveland.
Cleveland. Played some organ, and he had a child prodigy that played organ.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see his name on the record. And I thought King Curtis's great rhythm section.
Yes.
With Chuck Rainey and Bernard Purdy, and all the great guys. And what I had them do, this is an interesting point. You know, all black people can refer back to church experience with, you know, back in the day.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's before they were probably, you know, before they were doing crack in the ghetto.
Yes.
Back in the day, they had their root. However, they had were so remote from gospel music that I wanted them to come in and rehearse with Cleveland for a few days so that they would get the cadence back again.
Yeah, yeah.
Stan? Because there is a difference. There is a difference. After you've been playing blues and jazz all those years, there's a very subtle difference in the syncopations, the harmonies.
The call and response.
And call and response. The fundamentals of how a musician plays.
Yes.
And so that was my idea. And that paid off because the rhythm section is fantastic.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, and the idea, by the way, of bringing in the conga player.
Yeah.
Was really, really something else.
Yeah, so because I wanted to really flesh this out.
But, you know, Chuck and Bernard... It's just monstrous. You know, it sounds like a damn orchestra with those two.
Exactly. Well, I see you know your shit.
Well, I know my shit because I studied at your feet. You know, I was just telling everybody. I'm just pissed off that I wasn't. You know, I wasn't born 50 years earlier, so I could at least hang out with you when things were interesting.
Yeah.
Because it sucks now.
Well, how old are you?
43.
Yeah. So this was. When did we do this?
72.
72, which is...
35 years ago.
35 years ago. I have an idea that they must have signed releases.
That's what I'm getting at more and more.
I mean, John Cowley is, you know, a good director, a good movie man. By the way, is he in charge now?
He is something at Sony Pictures. I don't know what he is. I know he was in charge of Sony for a while,
yeah.
and he may be making his own independent stuff over there, but he was very, you know...
Who was the guy that got killed in the mountains?
Wells.
Frank Wells, I think he was in the picture back then.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he was partners with Ted Ashley at the time.
There you are. So this is just coming back to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all right. It's been, you know...
All right, so I just the name Ted Ashley, because I was trying to think... We always got along fine, although, as I say, we were quite separate from each other.
Yeah, well, that's... And you know, when you said that to me earlier, that led me to believe that they must have had releases, because a film company's not going to go and schnorr, you know, down and put down any money unless there's releases. I don't think.
I think they sent more than one cameraman down.
There's five cameras.
Yeah, a bunch of cameramen.
Yeah, I just don't think that they do all that unless they knew. And they have the releases from the band and from the church, and they license, you know, they have everything.
They have releases from all of them?
All of them.
But not from Aretha?
Not from Aretha.
So, by the way, Dick Allen is a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't want to, you know, the thing is, I talked to him before, and the only thing, of course, he says is, well, how much money is she going to get?
Oh, of course. It's in his interest. And if he can find, you know, this little hole there in the situation, with all, it's his job it's a job to put it to you as hard as he can.
No, I understand, and you know, I'm just a little guy, little pisher here, calling him with nothing. But it's the idea of we're going to see, because you know, the other thing is somebody said to us, well, you know, it only costs $25,000 to make it, and they said, well, why don't you just buy it?
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, because there's no correlation anymore between the record company and the film company. So what does the film company care anymore? They got a bunch of dead stock of Aretha Franklin for a record they don't own anymore.
Yeah. I used to run to Sidney Pollack back in the day at Elaine's occasionally, and I thought he'd, drop the whole deal. But
he says that there's a... Did you ever see a cut of it?
Never.
Never.
Never saw a cut.
So when they did it, what happened? Everybody just went home, you guys made the record, and then you said, hey, what's going on with the stuff, and nobody ever got back to you, or what?
My interest was in bringing home a good LP master.
Yeah, no, I know, and you did your job, but then,
And of course, I was interested, I would like to have seen it, but at that point, I didn't know, who to call, or who was in charge, and so on, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's about all I can offer you.
All right.
I'm feeling very, very sick today.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, very sick. I've got some intractable problems. But I just wanted to throw that Ted Ashley name in.
Yeah, look, you call me anytime.
I'd like to see this thing happen.
I'm trying my best, because, I have such respect for what you guys did, and the power of what you guys, were able to be, to get forth. Because you're absolutely right. You brought a profane rhythm section into a sacred place.
There you are.
It's the only thing a Jew could do. And at the same time, the sanctity of the recordings are what they are, which they are sacred recordings.
You know why? It was a formal Friday evening church service.
Yeah.
It was formal. Aretha was in a robe, the choir is in a robe. They entered from wherever and came down, in half step.
Yeah.
While you were in front. It was a full, formal Friday evening, if it was Baptist or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Service. And they were all in their robes and all of this, and so the idea occurred to me a day or two before, hey, this should be filmed.
Yeah. Well, it's, the record itself, even the re-release, because, I have the new release that they put out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
With the two albums and the two discs.
It's a masterpiece. It's unreal.
It's, that's why I keep telling everybody, I keep saying, it is the most important document of gospel music in our history.
Well.
And it's that important, and, just because of my love for what you did, I'll keep on my Don Quixote quest, as you call it.
Yeah.
But we're getting closer.
I can't imagine that they didn't get Aretha's signature. And if they did, why is it separate from the others?
Yeah, I know. But you know what? The other thing is...
Yeah, you're going to wind up paying for this.
And if we end up paying for it, what I'm going to do is we already talked about it earlier today. It's like the first thing we're going to do, if we end up buying this thing, we're going to try to give her a piece of it and just say, look, free, here, take it, and hopefully she'll forgive you and everybody else and remember what the great work was.
By the way, Aretha never had a platinum album with us, believe it or not.
Jeez.
But this record went double platinum in the 90s.
Yeah.
Imagine. That's her only platinum album.
That's amazing.
Double platinum. I'm looking at it now, my copy.
Yeah.
On the wall of the double platinum album.
Well, it really is so great. It's so funny because it just gets back to... the other thing is it's not... something where you say, oh, we're just doing a church service and we're just doing some sort of homage to church and this and that.
Oh, because I enhanced it.
Yep. It is, it isn't just that sort of pastiche of a church service. It is the real deal with such feeling and such emotion and such vibrancy.
How do you like this Jewish atheist being connected with two of the best gospel recordings of our era. That one and Bob Dylan's Slow Train Coming.
Yep. But all due respect to Mr. Dylan,
yeah,
this is the real, these are the real Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, this was, you know,
this is viewed as one of Dylan's very best recordings.
Oh, I know it, and I'm saying it with all due respect, but you know, when you get that voice, and she digs into that stuff, and I'll tell you the other thing, you get things out of, you know, Reverend Cleveland on those couple nights.
Yeah.
Where he's digging into it because, you know, she was giving as good as she was getting that those couple days.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, okay, well, we're nice little Pisher Jews, but this is a whole other world.
All right. I'm signing off.
Good.
I feel like shit.
Go feel better. We'll talk soon.
And tonight, go Yankees.
I will. Speak to you soon.
All right.
Bye.